It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Later this week, a community-wide meeting is being held to discuss concerns over a plan that would make downtown Pittsburgh virtually bus-free. That plan has been put on hold until a new mayor, presumably Bill Peduto, takes office in January. But there are many questions from citizens about what this plan could mean for the city and who has a say in how it will be developed. I'm joined now in Studio A by Allegheny County Executive Rich Fitzgerald. Mr. Fitzgerald, good to have you back with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Good to be with you, Paul. But let me just real quick, there is no plan to make downtown Pittsburgh virtually bus-free. So the premise of the intro is actually incorrect, but well, we can get into that.
Let's get into the misconceptions. Also with us in Studio A is Helen Gearhard, a community organizer for Pittsburghers for Public Transit. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh, Helen.
Thanks very much for having me.
And we'd like to hear from you. You can join us and our conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at essspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Well, we've certainly seen some reports, Rich Fitzgerald. So let me open the discussion by having you dispel what you feel is misinformation being put out for public consumption. What can you clarify? What would you like to clear up?
Well, one of the things that I've talked about, and I've talked about this even during my campaign going back almost 4 years, is to somehow open up some of the streets in downtown Pittsburgh and make some of those streets bus-free. Maybe not the whole street, but a few blocks of that street. If you recall, a few years ago, we took buses off of Market Square. We took the Port Authority buses out of Market Square, and they have really added to a new vitality and a new vibrancy that never existed in Market Square. So the good news is downtown Pittsburgh is doing as well as it's ever done. We've got occupancy rates in our office buildings, which are as low as they've been. We've got restaurants that are opening all the time. We've got a cultural district that continues to grow and continues to thrive. And we literally have, you know, restaurant waiting just about every weekend night and now on many weeknights. So that's a good thing. But one of the problems that you have on some of the streets is you have an overcrowding and gridlock, which occurs when too many buses, too many cars, too many pedestrians, too many bikes, too many a little bit of everything clogs up the system. And you come to a snarl. And what we want to do, like many cities have done, is figure out a routing system, a bus routing system that makes it more efficient and more customer friendly so that the bus comes into town and is able to get out relatively quickly. It doesn't sit for many minutes at a time, sometimes 20, 30 minutes, if you're stuck just trying to get down, whether it be Smithfield Street, whether it be Wood Street, whether it be Fifth Avenue, some of those real core streets. So we want to put a routing system in place that would allow some of those streets to become more vibrant, more developable, more pedestrian-friendly. Maybe you could have some restaurant seating out on the sidewalk like we do have in Market Square. So working with the new mayor, working with Bill Peduto and some of his planning people, we want to put a bus circulation system into downtown Pittsburgh. Our downtown is very compact. It's very small in many ways. So it's easy to kind of walk around in downtown Pittsburgh to go a few blocks and do that. In fact, I do it every day when I have meetings in town. I don't use my driver. I don't use my car. I'll walk from one end of town to the other, and you can do so in 10 minutes. So we're taking a look at how do we put this together, working with many, many stakeholders, getting a lot of input from a lot of from folks, and that's what we'll continue to do.
One possible misconception is the idea that this project is being driven primarily by business owners. What about that?
Well, that's not correct. This is being driven by a whole lot of folks who think it's a good idea. I've been talking about this, again, back in my campaign in late 10 and early 11. I've talked about it throughout the first 2 years of my administration. We now that we've got a new mayor that's going to be coming on board in just a few months, we've begun to have discussions over as to how to do this. So this is being driven by riders. This is being driven by the downtown business community. This is being driven by, you know, folks that use the system on a daily basis and just folks all over. And one of the things I pride myself on is going out into the community and hearing a lot of different voices that engage, you know, interest in public policy. And this is a public policy initiative that we want to take a look at, and we want to work with many of the stakeholders that have been engaged in this and have an interest in this, and get their input as to when we do put a plan together that tries to take a little bit of everything to give people what they want.
Helen Gerhardt of Pittsburghers for Public Transit, what concerns do you have about this plan?
Our main concern is that an old pattern of non-inclusive public planning process that has really negative impacts, practical impacts, on public transit that is absolutely crucial for the basic necessities for those stakeholders. So there are forms of community input, and I'm putting that in quotes, that one transit planner told me are a lot more like grief counseling. The major decisions have been made behind closed doors. Those with resources, money, influence, political networking have made a lot of those decisions. And the input really does not make any difference. So what those transit planners are put in the position of doing is basically saying, this is the way it is, get used to it. So Connect 09 is an example. There were a lot of public meetings. Drivers were consulted, but we hear from many drivers at the ATU that their practical expertise was totally ignored. A lot of the riders that were part of that process didn't really see any change based on their input.
So you're saying that neighborhoods and riders need to be a part of this discussion?
Yes, from the ground floor up. They need to be in on the meetings where, you know, the central, crucial, practical concerns are being discussed, and they need to have real weight.
Rich Fitzgerald, when will the public have an opportunity to participate in this, if in fact they have been cut out of the discussion?
They can participate right now. I'd like to get suggestions from different people that have different ideas as to what they would like to see, where they would like to see possible bus stops and or bus stations in downtown Pittsburgh. We take that input all the time, and we get that from many folks. So I would invite any group that has some suggestions to bring them forward. And we'll be certainly glad to look at them as the Port Authority goes through its planning process and tries to make sure that this works. So we would love to see input from folks, and we're inviting that. I'm inviting that right now.
The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reported that one official familiar with this project who declined to be identified said it will be difficult to develop a plan that efficiently relocates buses away from the center of downtown without a loss of convenience to riders. What about that?
Well, anytime you're making a change, if that bus drops you off in front of your door and it moves a couple blocks away, that's a lack of convenience, I guess you could say. So anytime there's a change, some people are going to be affected negatively and some positively. And what I've found in public policy is the folks that are affected positively tend not to show up at the meetings and say thank you, but the folks that are affected negatively tend to show up at the meetings and aren't real happy with it. And that could be property assessments, it could be bus routes, it could be just about anything. What I think the Port Authority planners are going to take a look at, and they've got some pretty up-to-date software on how to do that. They use some of the current state-of-the-art technology to do that and look at counts. Where do people get on? Where do people get off? Where do people want to go? They do surveys all the time as things change as to where we go. So that's one of the things we continue to do. We have a free subway system in downtown Pittsburgh that goes from one end of town to the other that folks can also avail themselves to. And it's free within the Golden Triangle. So we've tried to allow and make people give people the best accessibility that they can have. I hope we can continue to keep that system free, but right now it is, and I hope we can continue to do that. Is it going to be easy, Paul? No. This is a complicated system. 230,000 rides a day are taken on the Port Authority, and a lot of them come into the Central Business District of the Golden Triangle. How to make that system more efficient and more effective is not easy. If it was easy, it would have been done years ago. But with a lot of planning and a lot of foresight and a lot of cooperation, working with many stakeholder groups, I think we can come up with a system that's better than it is right now. If you designed this system starting today, you'd never design a system that looks like this. So what we're looking to do is to make improvements.
One of the things that people are concerned about is, as you mentioned, having to walk maybe three or four more blocks than they would normally do. And that may not be much for some people or to expect some people to do. But there is a concern about people who are physically disabled in some way, who are handicapped, about having to go a longer distance to get from a bus stop to whatever their destination might be in downtown. What plans are in place possibly to alleviate those concerns?
Well, that's one of the things we're gonna look at when we do this. We would love to be able to take everybody door to door, regardless of who it might be. Unfortunately, mass transit is not set up for that. So, you know, we've got to take into account all factors as they come into place, and certainly folks in the disability community, we definitely want to hear their concerns and where they would like to see stops, and where they might not want stops to be eliminated from, and how those stops operate. So that's something that we definitely want to get that input in. So I'm asking now for folks in the disability community, please send us your input and let us know what you would like to see.
And Helen Gerhardt, as you listen to Rich Fitzgerald explain some of what the concerns are and how they may be potentially addressed, what does that do to assuage some of the concerns that you have?
Well, one thing that's been expressed by a lot of transit planners is if you don't want a door-to-door service, why give the preference to cars? Why not have car-free zones? Many transit planners say it's the cars that cause the gridlock. If you're talking about moving big numbers of people who have to get to work and have lots of connections to make and already have really long commutes, you know, so many working people work two or three jobs under full-time level, so they're not getting health benefits. They spend so much of their time already trying to connect. Because the system is under such strain right now, buses are late 10 minutes, they miss their connection, they don't get to work, they lose their jobs. That fear is so powerful out there. It's happened to so many of these people. So if you want a system that works efficiently downtown, if there were bus-only lanes and you made it more accessible, you had really excellent.
Don't you have some of that, though? Like, for example, on Smithfield Street, you have bus-only lanes.
I'd say let's have more. And, yes, we absolutely all need to work together. Some people might have to give up stops. But the thing is that the riders and the drivers who know the system best, who should be part of that planning because they have practical experience, that goes beyond just counts. So let's say you have two stops. One is in front of a Giant Eagle and one is over by a major intersection. It's the stop in front of the Giant Eagle that might have fewer people per stop, but sometimes, in fact, in some of these last rounds of pullouts of bus stops, those were the ones that were removed. So I have members who are struggling down the street with big bags of groceries. So that could have been solved just by direct communication with those people. So what we're saying is bring us into the room, bring drivers into the room, and then really make revisions based on the input you get.
Rich Fitzgerald, what about Helen Gerhardt's point that the plans that are being considered might be too automobile-friendly, too friendly to cars and not enough to people who are using the mass transit?
Well, I mean, that's a decision I would not have the authority to make. That's city planning. That's something that municipalities have decided where cars are allowed to drive. So, you know.
Do you share that concern, though?
Well, I think it would be very difficult. You think I'm hearing from people now, if we took cars off of the streets of downtown Pittsburgh, I got a feeling your phones would be lighting up like crazy. It's a balance. It's how we've got to make sure that we coexist with transit, with vehicles, with bikes, with pedestrians, with development. It all needs to be looked at together. And, you know, again, it's that input that we'd like to see. So as the Port Authority planners sit down with the city planners to decide, you know, what type of plan to put out there, it's the input that we want to get from as many groups as we can, whether they be riders, whether they be people who drive in downtown Pittsburgh, people who may not take the bus, but they're pedestrians in downtown Pittsburgh, or they ride their bike into downtown Pittsburgh and park their bike at a bike corral. There's a new Pittsburgh out there that's a little different than the Pittsburgh that I grew up in. All these young people that are looking for more efficient, more effective ways, greener ways, more sustainable ways to get around. And transit's a big part of what they're doing. That's why we're using real-time technology now and GPSs on our buses, so people are able to find out where their bus is. They want efficiency. They want reliability. They also want a little bit of speed, too. And I think we've got to try to balance all those different things as we put these type of plans together.
We're talking about the future plans for mass transit in Pittsburgh here on Essential Pittsburgh Today. And our guests, one of whom you just heard, Allegheny County Executive Rich Fitzgerald. Also with us is Helen Gerhart with Citizens Concern for Mass Transit in Pittsburgh. And if you would like to join the conversation, 412-246-2002 is the number to call. That's 412-246-2002. We will take your calls. We will also take your email and Twitter questions as well. When we return, this is Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking about what has been reported as a plan that would make downtown Pittsburgh bus-free, a plan that has been put on hold until a new mayor, presumably Bill Peduto, takes office in January. Our guests are Allegheny County Executive Rich Fitzgerald and also Helen Gerhart, a community organizer for Pittsburghers for Public Transit. We're taking your calls at 412-246-2002. Before we get to the phones, I just want to follow up here with our guests on a couple of things, one of which, as we reported at the outset, has been in the news. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, television stations, radio entities as well reporting that the Port Authority is hoping to make downtown bus-free. Those have been the headlines. And Rich Fitzgerald, is everybody getting it wrong?
Well, anybody who thinks we're looking to make downtown Pittsburgh bus-free, that is wrong. We've never said that. I've never said it as county executive or as a candidate for county executive, nor have I heard Bill Peduto say that. Bill has talked about making Smithfield more bike pedestrian friendly, Wood Street more bike pedestrian friendly, trying to move some of the stops to maybe some different areas. So it's a sensational headline that certainly grabs a lot of attention, but it's not based in what's actually going on. There is no plan to move this. I mean, there's a plan to do it, but not. And here's the plan. Okay, the stops are going to move here, and there. There's some ideas that are being looked at, but there's not a plan that's being put into place right now.
One question that someone might have is if you want to make a place, if you want to make certain streets in downtown Pittsburgh pedestrian friendly, and maybe allow some more bike traffic in there, if you maybe take out buses on some streets, but you let the cars continue to go through, how does that make it more pedestrian friendly?
Well, again, buses bring a bigger mass coming through. So that could be something the city planning could take a look at about restricting cars in certain areas. Let me just say this. If you recall what Market Square was, Market Square had buses and cars going through there. Right now, all Market Square has is cars going through there. I think everybody would universally agree that Market Square is a more vibrant, more friendly place to go to now, sitting out on a sidewalk in front of a restaurant. There's more pedestrian-friendly, more bike-friendly that does exist with just the buses gone. Would it be even friendlier if the cars were gone? Probably. But then you've still got to deal with some of the traffic restrictions. But you know, that's a suggestion that could be passed along to city planning and could be looked at.
Helen, you wanted to make a point.
Yes, I do think that we as citizens really need to understand the larger systems we're part of. So we're not saying that changes don't need to be made, but that too many times people who have really big influence in terms of money, connections, or so on – tend to do a lot of bending the ears. So if you just look at one of the latest articles about a kind of boutique section downtown, and you look at all the quotes, there's Sean Fox, Director of Business Development for Oxford, William Rudolph for McKnight Realty, Millcraft Investments and McKnight Realty Partners, Herky Pollack, the CBRE executive, Giant Eagle, PNC Financial Services Group. So I didn't see quotes from riders in there or from drivers. So, you know, that the developers are a very big part of planning, right? We are worried that there is disproportionate influence by people with big money. Our current campaign system, it really encourages the influence of those who, you know, have those big bucks. So this is across the country. I'm not pointing out any one person, but in light of that, we need to be more engaged. We need to be informed. We need to be more vocal.
So you're saying average citizens need to have more of a voice in this. Let's welcome in some callers. We have Jim in Squirrel Hill who has some concerns that he would like to raise. Jim, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I have just a couple of things. First of all, if you attempt to frame this as the people who are concerned about door-to-door transportation that they want, that is demeaning, belittling of their positions, and a whole bunch of other pejoratives which people could think of. I don't think anybody is talking about door-to-door. Two, we should ask the question, who are the customers? And three, this discussion will feel very different in January, February, or March with inclement or very cold weather when people who don't have good health, who have disabilities of some sort, are trying to walk those only two or three blocks that people who happen to be younger and more fortunate can do easily. I happen to be 70, I'm blind, and I have some other health issues. I mean, I've walked many a Pittsburgh street for many years, but this is something which I think January or February would be a great time to have this discussion. Okay. I could take my responses, you know, on the air.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jim. And you raised some legitimate concerns. Rich Fitzgerald, I'll let you respond.
Yeah, no, some very valid concerns. I think Jim has a good point. And I think when we make the plans that affect transit, not just in downtown but anywhere, I think certain times of the year in inclement weather, the winter months, have to be considered. So I don't think there's any question about that. So, again, we're not talking about eliminating buses in downtown Pittsburgh. We're talking about adjusting some of the stops and making the circulation and the travel and efficiency of transit in and out of downtown Pittsburgh better, trying to eliminate some of the gridlock, eliminate some of the traffic snarl that exists, and also knowing that, you know, we want to do it in a very customer-friendly way. You're right. The customers are who we respond to, and that's how I've always tried to impact the Port Authority. These customers need to be served, whether they're on our light rail after a special event over on the North Shore or whether it's the new time real-time technology we're imparting. That's a big part of what we're doing.
Well, to your point, Ashley on Twitter says is wondering if any research has been done looking at traffic light patterns. One thing I think people that drive through downtown Pittsburgh notice is that the lights are not in sync. You could be sitting at a red light and see that the lights that are up ahead are green. When your light finally turns green, you go a block, and then your light turns red again.
Right. And I think again, city planning does have some of the newer technology. I think CMU has been at the forefront of doing some of that traffic study or traffic signaling planning and sequencing that's happening. And, you know, could it be better? I'm not going to say it couldn't, but I think that's also signaling absolutely has to be part of that process.
Let's go to Joe in Pittsburgh. Joe, we're running low on time here, but go ahead with a quick comment or question.
Yes, sir. You used to have traffic cops downtown Pittsburgh in the 60s and 70s. Any congestion, I'm downtown a lot, any congestion downtown could be solved by traffic policemen that know what they're doing. I think it's just a ploy by the business people and the people that own real estate downtown. I think it's ridiculous.
Okay, apparently he thinks the idea of lessening the bus traffic is a concern. What about the idea of the traffic cops? I mean, the years ago on Candid Camera, there was the famous cop on Liberty and Wood who gained worldwide fame doing his thing in downtown Pittsburgh. Do we need to bring back traffic cops?
Again, that's something that the city would have to decide if that's something that they could budget for, if that was something that was worthwhile, that they thought could happen. And again, it could be different times of the day. Would signaling take care of that? You know, I don't know. I'm not going to opine and know the answer to that.
You were part of a group looking into what Cleveland is doing with rapid transit. What about that? What about other plans that are under consideration?
Well, the BRT, the bus rapid transit linking downtown Pittsburgh to Oakland, is something I've been very, very out front. Not just me. There's been about 40 stakeholder groups that have come out very much in favor of the sustainable Pittsburgh. Many of the community groups from uptown, Oakland, downtown, the Downtown Partnership, the Chamber of Commerce, you know, that would help take a lot of cars and take a lot of traffic off of downtown Pittsburgh if we had a BRT that allowed people to get onto the BRT and zip out into Oakland in a sustainable, reliable, predictable way. I think that's all part of this whole process of trying to make the whole system, more efficient, not just one stop in front of one business on one corner. It's about making the whole system more user-friendly.
Helen, we're down to just 20 seconds, but I'll let you have a final word here.
Okay. Bill Peduto campaigned on bottom-up planning. So he has a record that gives weight to his promises. We hope to see a new era as a new administration comes in, city and county working together to be truly inclusive of all those who are most transit dependent and most vulnerable to changes that impact their lives in such crucial ways.
Helen Gerhardt is a community organizer for Pittsburghers for Public Transit. Also with us, Allegheny County Executive Rich Fitzgerald. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks, Paul. Good to be with you.
Thanks for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. See you tomorrow.
I'm downtown a lot. Any congestion downtown could be solved by policemen, traffic policemen that know what they're doing. I think it's just a ploy by the business people and the people that own real estate downtown. I think it's ridiculous.
Okay. Apparently, he thinks the idea of lessening the bus traffic is a concern. What about the idea of the traffic cops? I mean, the years ago on Candid Camera, there was the famous cop on Liberty and Wood who gained worldwide fame doing his thing in downtown Pittsburgh. Do we need to bring back traffic cops?
Again, that's something that the city would have to decide if that's something that they could budget for, if that was something that was worthwhile, that they thought could happen. And again, it could be different times of the day. Would signaling take care of that? You know, I don't know. I'm not going to opine and know the answer to that.
You were part of a group looking into what Cleveland is doing with rapid transit. What about that? What about other plans that are under consideration?
Well, the BRT, the bus rapid transit linking downtown Pittsburgh to Oakland, is something I've been very, very out front. Not just me. There's been about 40 stakeholder groups that have come out very much in favor of the sustainable Pittsburgh. Many of the community groups from uptown, Oakland, downtown, the Downtown Partnership, the Chamber of Commerce, you know, that would help take a lot of cars and take a lot of traffic off of downtown Pittsburgh if we had a BRT that allowed people to get onto the BRT and zip out into Oakland in a sustainable, reliable, predictable way. I think that's all part of this whole process of trying to make the whole system, more efficient, not just one stop in front of one business on one corner. It's about making the whole system more user-friendly.
Helen, we're down to just 20 seconds, but I'll let you have a final word here.
Okay. Bill Peduto campaigned on bottom-up planning. So he has a record that gives weight to his promises. We hope to see a new era as a new administration comes in, city and county working together to be truly inclusive of all those who are most transit dependent and most vulnerable to changes that impact their lives in such crucial ways.
Helen Gerhardt is a community organizer for Pittsburghers for Public Transit. Also with us, Allegheny County Executive Rich Fitzgerald. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks, Paul. Good to be with you.
Thanks for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. See you tomorrow.